everyone. Welcome to Passion to Profession podcast. I'm your host, Ash, and this is a special edition of the podcast where we are celebrating International Women's History Month, where I'm bringing you women-centered stories. Stories of courage, resilience, overcoming adversities, breaking stereotypes, and much more. So today's episode will be focused on how to transform an adversity into an advantage. And to talk about this, I have a very special guest with me who has not only won the battle against cancer, but also found her true purpose along her way. And today, she is the founder of Butterfly Me Coaching Service, which is a happiness and fulfillment coaching service. And through this, she is inspiring others to find their own unique purpose and master their mindset. My friend, Carolyn Emily, is also an author, a TEDx speaker, and overall a very positive, energetic person who is always willing to help and motivate others. Caroline, it's my absolute pleasure to have you on my show today. Welcome.
Hi, Ash, and thank you. It's my pleasure to be on this show here. I'm really flattered that you've invited me to join you and your listeners today.
Absolutely. I'm just so glad that we were able to connect. After a while, I remember meeting you during the book launch event in London, and I do remember how we had instantly kind of clicked and got along so well. And I'm happy that you're here on the show today. And when I actually met you in London, I honestly, Caroline, I did not have any idea that you had gone through such a major thing in your life, because I found you so full of positive energy and you were always smiling. And only when I got back and we stayed in touch through social media was I able to kind of know a little bit more about you. And I thought of inviting you on the show because I do believe that your story is going to be truly inspirational one for my listeners. So to start off, Caroline, are you comfortable to share a little bit about your journey from the stage when you were first diagnosed and going through the treatment and actually becoming a cancer survivor or thriver, I should say?
Yes, I think I prefer thriver. Of course, we have to survive an adversity first, but then I believe we can also thrive after it. So yes, so thank you for that introduction. I do recall when we did meet in London, and it was actually your book launch. So you're the inspirational lady trailblazing ahead there. So basically, my diagnosis is coming up to 4 years. Next month, it will be 4 years since I was diagnosed with breast cancer on the 19th of April, 2017. And I think with most stories you hear from people who have experienced cancer, you know, it's not something you ever see coming to you. It's literally you have a symptom of some sort, you get it checked out, and it's just a bolt out of the blue. What? Me? No. How? And this is exactly how it was for me. I found a lump in my breast. I did not think anything of it. I just went to the doctor and they assured me, 90% of the time, these things are absolutely nothing to worry about. And just as a routine check, let's get you booked in for some more tests. And that's exactly the mindset I went in with, because I had no family history at all of cancer. And I was 41 at the time. I thought breast cancer comes to women who are, you know, much older, maybe in their 50s or 60s. I did not smoke. I did not drink. I thought I had what I thought is a healthy lifestyle. So it was absolutely shocking. And yet, as you mentioned, it is not something that I allowed to get in my way of enjoying life. Even when I was going through the treatment, which was 6 rounds of chemotherapy, surgery, and then 20 rounds of radiotherapy, I just looked at it as this is just part of life. Everybody has adversities, whatever they are, whether they're health issues or relationship issues or whatever. We as humans will always have really difficult times. And from the stories I had seen before in my life, the human spirit is a really powerful one. We hear of people in wartime or in really difficult abuse situations and who still thrive. So I've always been inspired by others and always looked into what is it that can make people so resilient and so open to just getting over troubled times. And I think in part, this is why I had already become a life coach, always looking to inspire and empower others to be the best that they can be. When it happened to me, I figured, yeah, it's now my time to, you know, walk my talk like no previous time before in my life.
But one thing I wanted to actually say is I saw your Instagram posts and I saw a few pictures of when you were actually undergoing the treatment and you seemed to be like smiling and you had your makeup on and it's such a positive spirit as though you were kind of celebrating getting over each and every round of chemotherapy, right?
Yes.
You found your strength when you were faced with an adversity. Did it happen immediately or did it take some time and you did go through a low phase and then came into terms?
So I had 8 days. On the day that they, you know, they suspected and they took me in to do all the tests and so on, that was the first day I felt, oh my gosh, I might have cancer. And then there was an 8-day wait until I got the results back for the biopsy. And it was in those 8 days that I went through all the roller coaster of emotions of being shocked, being scared, being in denial, as in, no, you know, this could be completely wrong. This is not happening to me. This is just some surreal dream or something. I'm going to wake up from it. And then getting on to more, okay, well, if it is cancer, what are you going to do about it? Because I suppose as a structured person, I kind of like plans. So I was already, you know, doing my research, doing my plans, just in case they do give me that bad news, I needed to be ready. And to be honest, for me, the most difficult part was the uncertain part. It was the 8 days that I thought were the most difficult part. It's the not knowing. Because I think once we know what we're dealing with, we are then in a position of power. We can decide how we want to get through it. And it was in those 8 days that I decided, if I do have cancer, I want to get through this with style, with my smile on my face, with my signature red lipstick on my lips. I don't want to change into a different person, because if I do die, I want to be remembered as to who I was, this positive, outgoing, friendly person, and not to be changed into a different person. I wanted my obituary to say she still went out with her lipstick on her lips.
That's exhibiting super high level of maturity and a very practical view of life. It's really hard to come by, especially when you were that young when that happened.
Yes, I think it partly comes from my faith. And you don't necessarily have to be a religious person to have faith, but I think many people already have a connection with either their higher self or spirit or the universe or God, whatever term different people use. I think we all usually have this sense of there is something stronger within us, something that can boost us when we are having a downtime. So for me, I believe that this is part of my mission on Earth. I believe we each have a unique mission. There's a reason as to why we're created at a particular point in history. And it's just simple mathematics. You know, the probability of our two parents meeting at the time that they did to have us and then their ancestors. I think somebody has calculated it at some point, and it's something like 1 in 4 trillion is the chance of any of us being alive in this point in history. But I do feel it can't be coincidental. So we must all be here for a reason. And I figured, well, mine is to inspire and empower others to be the best or the butterfly version of themselves. And this was my own way of just simply applying my own beliefs. I wanted to be the best version of myself, even if that meant sitting in a chemotherapy chair, but I still wanted to look and feel my best. And it started off with taking the first photo simply because I love taking photos anyway. And whenever I go anywhere, I like to take photos, whether it's sightseeing or with friends or family. And then I thought, well, yeah, why don't I just do this at every chemo session? Because by that time, I was already sharing on Facebook and my social media, and I'd even started a blog to go beyond my immediate circle of friends and family. I just wanted to be of service.
Right.
I just thought, this is happening to me, so why is it happening to me? But not in a kind of a self-pity way, but more of, what am I being asked to do here? Why is this happening? What can I learn from it? What can I teach others? How can I help other people who might find themselves in my shoes later on?
And by documenting that journey, by sharing it with others beyond your immediate family. It's like a circle of giving, right? It goes back and forth. I'm sure you did receive a lot of encouragement and motivation from others as well. And you were radiating so much of warmth and positive energy that people could see that, hey, it's not so bad. This is something that can be fought and overcome. And I'm sure you inspired a lot of people going through an adversity like this during that time.
Thanks. Yes. So this was exactly what I was thinking. From the statistics, I could see that 1 in 7 women gets breast cancer and 1 in 2 people generally gets cancer. So I wanted to help break the stigma. I did not personally know anybody who had gone through cancer before. So I had no reference point. I had no way of knowing what is chemotherapy like. It's only what I was finding on the internet. And some of it can be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
You read other people's experiences and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. And yes, it is scary, but there are also some experiences which you might read and think, well, you see, it wasn't that bad. I'm just simply trying to balance the information out there.
Sometimes just reading too much, and we tend to overthink when in reality, it's not scary to the extent that we imagine in our head in most of the scenarios. And of course, you know, I can't speak much about actually going through something like this. But I think most of the times I feel that just overthinking and overanalyzing, and internet sometimes can be a bad thing too, because we tend to read and soak in some of the negativity as well through social media and internet.
Yes, I can't remember the exact statistic, but I think generally in any area of life, if we have a good experience, I think they say we tell one person, whereas if we have a bad experience, we tell like 3 or more people. So this is exactly the kind of thinking I was having, that the chances are most of the experiences on the internet of going through chemotherapy or just cancer in general would be the more negative or the more challenging ones. So I just thought, well, it is negative for me as well. There are challenges and fears, but I also wanted to put in the good moments, like when things did go well. On my blog, I was sharing things like my gratitude list for chemo, the good things that happened, for example, that they were able to insert the cannula from the first time around, or that I got a nice looking pink chair because that was a happy color for me. So it's just little things. And scientifically, it is proven that the more grateful we are and the more we practice the habit of gratitude, it helps us to boost the chemicals in our brain that make us feel happier and also improve our resilience. It's a cycle of, it was boosting me, enabling me to face the cancer even in a more positive way.
Absolutely. And I can see how it actually worked for you. Did this whole experience change your perspective about life? Because you did talk about a unique purpose and we're all here for a reason. So all that actually came to you after you went through all of this? Or how did your life change post-cancer?
So I had that belief before. Let's just say I was living on the sidelines still. So although I was a life coach at the time, I was just sort of posting here and there on Facebook. Hi, you know, I'm a life coach. Yeah, hope I can help. You know, kind of living it small rather than really owning it.
That's right. Yeah.
At this point, when I had survived cancer, I just thought, well, you know what? You survived it for a reason. You can't just keep living it small. So I started opening my life more to, you know, going to personal development events, meeting new people. People had said to me, you should get published, write your story, share your story. But I was always like, yeah, one day. Okay, go and speak to people. Oh gosh, no, I'm an introvert. I cannot speak. I like to hide away and write behind a keyboard. So this is what changed after the cancer. I'm like, you've got to just suck it up. Just be bolder. It's now or never. Like, where are you going to wait for? This is exactly what happened. I started going to more events, networking and personal development events. And that's how, for example, I met you and lots of other people who were then interested in hearing my story. And I learned how to speak in public. And I was terrified the first time I got on stage.
I'm still terrified.
Yes, that is true. I wanted to say that as well. You know, there's always still this element of, oh, wow, what if they don't like me? And then you keep remembering, but I'm not doing it to be liked. I am doing it for just one person. If there's just one person who this helps, then that's more than enough to justify the fear or to justify the discomfort. It's now or never. Just go for it fully without the fear of doing it slowly or building it up. You will never feel ready to take the plunge into anything that you feel passionate about.
That's right. There's no perfect time.
Exactly. Many of us tend to wait until life knocks us from the outside. I guess what I'm hoping to help teach people is go for it without waiting for the adversity to happen first. Because I do believe in, especially in terms of health, I sometimes feel that it's because we're not really living on purpose or we're not living in alignment with what truly makes us happy and fulfilled, that we can also create the disease within us. If we're holding on to a lot of fear or sadness or stress can cause a lot of disease in the long term.
And this is where just having that calm, positive mindset, being grateful, generally releases those happy hormones in our body. A lot of the physical things and mental things are all tied up together, and we fail to realize that most of the time.
Absolutely. I think in Western medicine, especially, it's very focused just on the physical state, whereas the field of positive psychology has been, you know, increasingly proving that our mental and our emotional state actually create our physical state as well. It's a loop. So we need to have a much more holistic approach of understanding and being able to have the awareness to know that everything affects everything.
Absolutely. Everything is connected, interconnected.
Absolutely.
In line with your experience, I did listen to your TEDx that you had. It is really, really inspiring.
Thank you.
And I love the way you actually talked about, especially these personal experiences. It's a very tough story to share, Caroline, but you did great.
Thank you.
I did listen to the whole talk. So for the benefit of my podcast listeners, I would want to ask if you are okay to share those three best tips for transforming adversity into an advantage.
Sure. The first one I've already touched on, which is to believe deep in your core that you are here for a reason. You are here for a unique purpose. And whatever comes to you in the form of a struggle, a challenge, an adversity is there to help make you into the person you were really born to be rather than to break you. And this was my belief. So when I got the diagnosis, this is why I was able to, from the very next day, jump into, okay, let's take back control here. And this is when I launched the blog, and this is when I launched my story on social media. It's to switch the mindset from I am a victim of circumstance to I am going to be a victor over these circumstances. And it's just believing that. It's almost like, you know, 007, when they're handed the mission, here is your mission, 007. So I felt like, okay, Caroline, this is your mission to show others how to get through breast cancer or just an adversity in general, while still remaining positive and enjoying life wherever you are at.
Yeah,
that was the number one point. And then number two is to learn to choose happiness no matter what is happening to you. So that might sound a little, you know, la-la or naff or whatever, like, oh, how can I be happy when my world is crumbling around me? But as I've also mentioned, like, if you don't take care of your thoughts and your emotions, they're going to keep pulling your physical status down. Feel your emotions, feel the sadness, let the tears out. And when you are ready, slowly start to think, how can I just do a little thing to make me feel good? Maybe it's just taking a shower or a bath or calling a friend and just going for a walk. For me, because I knew I'm going to have months of treatment of chemotherapy and I'm going to lose my hair and probably my physical body is no longer going to be as energetic, I thought, well, let me boost myself now. I love partying. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to have a party now because I might miss my friends' birthdays and all the parties in the summer.
Oh, did you actually do that?
Yes. So I had a pre-chemo party with my friends and my family. We went out for dinner and dancing and we were taking photos like usual.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And some people got me gifts and I just thought, wow.
Yeah.
I might not have known the science at the time, but while all this was happening, yeah, my brain was releasing, you know, all the happiness chemicals like serotonin and the dopamine, you know, everything. So at least have a good time in whatever you're doing. It
yes.
does not mean that your life needs to completely stop because sadness begets sadness. And if you leave yourself open to the loop of just feeling bad, guess what? You're going to feel worse the next day and then even worse the next day. So at some point, we just need to be able to break the loop and just do whatever we can. And if we're not able to do it ourselves, we can just ask our friends or our family or our colleagues, guys, just help me. Come and take me out for the day. You know, just being in fresh air, looking at nature, sitting in some sun, you know, looking at the birds chirping, all these things visually and sensory will help our brain to release the right chemicals to help see us through.
I guess that is the way you were actually describing. It led me to believe that was this the motivation behind naming your coaching service also Butterfly Me Coaching, where you're inspiring others to spread their wings and fly? I'm thinking that was your thought process behind launching a coaching service as well.
Yes. So I actually launched a few years before I got the cancer diagnosis, but it was after I had been made redundant from a job. So you could say that again was a different kind of adversity. And at the time, I had no immediate jobs lined up. And I was wondering, what am I going to do? But something was telling me to not instantly look for jobs. Something was telling me that my soul needs me to go into a different direction. I was working at the time in marketing in an automotive company, and I had never heard of life coaching at the time. It was because I followed my heart a little. I realized that I need to connect with more people. I need to give more. I need to serve more. This was not being met in my career until that point. And when I did learn how to do coaching, I thought, wow, I wonder what the end result here will be. Like, am I going to be transformed into a butterfly? And I think that's when I thought, okay, let me call it Butterfly Me, because it was founded during my own journey of trying to find out what's next for me in life. And I myself was going through a transformation.
You know, when it comes to coaching, majority of the life coaches, when they do preach or guide others, there are very few who have actually gone through those experiences themselves. So I feel what makes you more different and more, I would say, effective in coaching is because you have actually gone through all those and you have yourself applied those principles to transform yourself first. This is where all the difference is when compared to others out there. This might be your differentiating factor.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. I did not get into coaching as a deliberate career. It was more like I myself was going through challenging times and trying to work out for myself. What do I want to do in my life? I felt happy in my previous career, but I just always felt there's something else missing. So I was happy, but not fulfilled. And I don't think until that point, I had realized there's a difference between happiness and fulfillment even.
Yeah.
I just thought, hey, you know, you're happy. That's it. That's all you need to think about. But no, there needs to be meaning there. For me, there also needs to be, what is your life adding to the world? Not just what am I getting from the world?
Absolutely agree with you. So tell us a little bit about what you do now, Caroline. Are you continuing your coaching? Any books, events coming up? What's your immediate future looking like?
So after the TEDx talk, and I had different parts of my story published in three different co-authored books, I do feel now I'm just taking time out literally during, you know, lockdown and everything that we've all been experiencing.
We all did that.
Yeah.
We all went through that. Yes. It's crazy, crazy time. Yeah.
Yes. I've been looking more at, what is next? And what is next? I think it's the much more gentle pace. There's no more of the craziness that I had in 2019 and the first quarter of 2020, where it was, you know, book launch this and speaking event here and speaking event there. Now I'm actually getting more into the science of happiness. I've been doing some online courses in terms of positive psychology. So to back up everything that I've learned practically, I learned everything by myself. But now I'm going into this is the scientific proof for why gratitude works. This is the scientific proof of how you can become more resilient. These are all skills anybody can learn. You don't need to wait until you've had an adversity to pick them
That's
up.
That's right.
So I'm looking to incorporate that into my coaching program.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could even do webinars or publish another book all by yourself.
Yes, exactly. So this is my goal for the next publication. I've been getting published in, magazines and different contributing articles to different publications. But yeah, I've got my name on the cover of a book.
I did see your cover page on Powerhouse Global as well. You're completely rocking it.
Oh, thank you.
So I will look forward to your own book coming out sometime soon.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
I think I've just got the third point. I've been talking away here and I haven't said the third point about turning adversity into an advantage yet.
I realized that and I was like, okay, maybe I missed it.
Nope, I missed it.
Let's go through that now. I'm curious to hear your last point.
So the third point is to just be open to redesigning your life. What I found when I had completed my treatment for cancer is that, okay, am I just going to go back to my original life now? Because surely this happened for a reason. If I just go back to doing exactly what I was doing before, then what would the lesson have been?
Yeah.
That's why I became open to reducing my work hours and changing my role even in my job and looking more to build my coaching business and then to meeting different people, making new friends. This is where I met other authors, other entrepreneurs, other speakers, and this completely enriched my life. Because if we just focus on surviving only, we will bounce back to where we started, which is definitely an important goal. But if we want to also thrive, which is always open to all of us, then we need to do something different from what we were doing before we faced the adversity. And this is something, that I picked up from my own experience. Sometimes it is enough to just survive. That is always the first goal.
And then go from survive to thrive.
Exactly. But I always invite people to look at why they got to that place of adversity in the first place. If it's a disease, what was causing them the stress, or were they truly happy before they became ill, or were they just settling into a life that wasn't really bringing them joy?
This is a very important point, and I'm so glad you actually went back and shared this point of how to overcome adversity, because I do think that most of the times we actually just tend to be in a pigeonhole kind of situation. We all live in a box and we tend to be having closed thinking. Most of the time we go through traditional ways of education and college, and the way it's all structured, there's not much scope to think outside the box unless you voluntarily decide that, hey, I'm going to do something different, I'm going to try new things. Otherwise, the system is going to take you through that hole of going through in just one particular way of life, is what I think. And it's very, very important that we look beyond to reach our best potential.
Yes. So I think most of us really value stability and security, as we should. Nobody wants to have an absolutely unstructured life. But I think we also need to realize that uncertainty can be useful, because imagine if we woke up, I'm sure you must be familiar with the movie Groundhog Day, where you wake up and you experience the same day over and over and over.
Yes, I have watched that movie. Yeah.
So, if we are living like that and every single day we know exactly what's going to be said and the experiences we're going to have, and we just know everything, there's absolutely no joy anymore. Mm-hmm. Joy and happiness actually do come from a little bit of uncertainty, a little bit of surprise, like when somebody gets you a gift and you've got no idea what's in the box and you open it and you're like, oh, wow, that was really thoughtful,
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just need to learn to be a bit more comfortable with uncertainty and with taking a little bit more risk so that our day is not so predictable. Yes, it's nice to know we have a safe and secure job and we drive to our job on this day and that day and get the salary at the end of the month. But what about spontaneity? You know, what about just taking a different route to work and maybe walking the last block or something, or just eating a food that you don't normally eat? Start small. Start with little risk-taking.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense.
Then you're able to take slightly bigger risks and not be so confined. Surprise yourself. What else you can do?
In fact, this reminds me when I wrote the book, one of my points was actually get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I had written very similar stuff about we have to get comfortable doing uncomfortable things.
Exactly.
Whether it's putting us out there, speaking up, voicing your opinion and stepping out and actually doing something that you are scared of. Sometimes that fear can, if converted into an excitement, that nervous energy, if converted into an excitement, can lead to something beautiful. I have experienced that.
Exactly.
What you said completely resonated with me, because that's how I have done a few things, whether it was writing articles or co-authoring a book or launching a podcast. All of this made me a little uncomfortable because I was also in a very traditional path and of education, okay, getting into a corporate job, that's my day job, which I still absolutely love. But at the same time, I'm able to actually work and build up my side hustles only because of this mindset. So I can completely relate with you on that.
Exactly. And I love what you just said, because having a corporate job does not need to be seen as, you know, oh, the bad thing. A lot of people out there are like, oh, get out of corporate, get out of corporate. And I'm actually, no, you don't have to get out of corporate if that satisfies your lifestyle, as long as you also do the little things that make you happy, the simple things, you know, like you just said, you're following your heart, you're contributing articles, you're writing books, you're doing your podcast. So you can still have the corporate job, be creative on your own. It does not have to be this radical 180 degree change overnight. Have a portfolio of hobbies and interests and passions. But I think many of us have been taught that, no, just focus on your job. And on the weekend, you just
relax, unwind, and yeah, just chill out.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Caroline, switching gears a little bit, I want to go into a fun round of questions, okay? Just to know you a bit more, okay?
Sure. Okay.
All right. So the first question is, tell us something about you that no one knows yet and is not found on any of your social media handles. And I know you share a lot on social media too, so it's going to be a hard question for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to be a bit hard, right? Okay, can I come back to that one?
Yeah, so it can be very simple ones too, like what's your favorite book or like the motivational quote you live by. Anything simple, it need not be like a drastic secret from your life. So
I keep feeling like I've shared everything about me.
Something fun. How do you indulge yourself, or how do you do, you know, what do you do on your free time? Something like that. Yeah, we'll come back to that. So the next question is, tell us any of your habit, routine, or mindset. It can be anything, like one success tip that has helped you remain so optimistic in such a challenging time that you went through.
To learn to just calm your internal mind chatter. I know many people have heard of affirmations. It's just to say something that begins with I am. So for example, whenever I feel really stressed, I will just say to myself things like, I am loved, I am blessed, and God's taking care of the rest. It's just literally to just say something to take you out of your immediate emotion that is empowering.
Yeah.
And that even if you don't believe right there and then in your immediate time.
I agree about the power of affirmations. It's a great point.
Yeah. But your brain will then start to keep repeating it until you start believing it.
And it all starts with having the right mindset, right? I mean, I feel that half the battle is won if you have the right mindset. It's a good starting point.
Absolutely. Because I think, again, it's been estimated that we have something like 50,000 or even more thoughts a day. And we've not been taught to challenge them. We've not been taught that a lot of the things we think are not necessarily true. They're just our thoughts, and our thoughts don't have to be right. So it's a matter of learning that just because something pops up in your mind and you think it, like, oh, I'm not good at this, or I'm just too old to learn this, whatever. No, challenge it. Ask yourself, what makes me qualified to do this? And it might be that nothing that immediately comes to mind, but the more you think about it, the more you can start making a list. And when you're empowered with more positive ideas, you can, you know, completely fight those mind gremlins.
This just made me think of a fun example, like the pandemic situation when it hit us last year, right? And there was so much of panic, anxiety, stress all around. Like there was a mad rush here in US. There was a shortage of toilet paper.
Yep, same as here in London.
Is it? It's like going crazy, right? Like not thinking clearly and then just causing this shortage of, I really don't get the logic of how these two are like related. I mean, this is a pandemic situation. And I feel that after that whole initial phase of complete anxiety, panic that everybody went through, you know, once we kind of realized that, okay, this is going to stay for a while and we need to take the precautions of wearing a mask, maintaining social distance. Once everybody was aware of what to do, I feel that somewhat the mental tension was somewhat gone, at least to a certain extent. Having that mindset, the right calm, positive mindset is probably like a good starting point to handle any kind of crisis, I feel.
Absolutely. I think once you've mastered your mind, you can master whatever's happening around you.
Yeah. The next question is, what or who inspires you, Caroline?
Oh, there's a lot. I won't name particular names, but anybody who is being authentic inspires me. Anybody like you, like in that moment where you said you really still appreciate your corporate career, but you still like to do your own thing, that inspires me. Honesty inspires me because I think so many people are trying to keep certain personas, especially with social media and all that. And I just don't feel this is the kind of world we should be living in. We just need to be honest. We shouldn't be here trying to prove anything to anybody. We're all facing our own struggles, our own issues, and we should be helping each other rather than pretend, yeah, I've got it all sorted. I've got everything under control. No, we all struggle. We all have self-doubts at different times. Anybody who tells me anything authentic about themselves inspires me immediately.
And when it comes to social media, I kind of agree with you. I mean, it's all about looking through the rose-colored lens at the world, right? And looking at only posting pictures of only the vacation or where we look perfect. Nobody really shares, okay, hey, you know, they're feeling a little bit down today. And those are all kind of considered boring posts, which nobody reads. And I do feel this is where I think something needs to change. People need to be a little more genuine, a little more authentic, like how you have shared on your Insta. It's very rare that people are open up about their whole experiences like that.
So I think when I shared the first photo of me in the chemo chair, I still looked like myself, but that's why it was important for me to keep going as my hair started to fall out and my eyebrows fell out and my eyelashes fell out. I'm like, no, you're not just going to show at the beginning, you're going to show the whole way because otherwise censoring it, it's not really authentic.
Yeah.
And this is why also recently I shared, because it's been Mother's Day in the UK and also in my homeland, Egypt, during March. I was genuinely feeling a bit, wow, I am, you know, 45. I am still not married. I do not have children. And this is not something I've ever expected. As my younger self, I always thought I would be a mother by this point. So I was sharing my own feelings genuinely about how this feels. I'm not putting it out for anybody to necessarily write anything back to me, but simply to say, hey, I'm going through this as well. I think the more we are just honest with our fears, our doubts, the more we help each other, because we're never alone. You know, nobody is ever alone in whatever they're experiencing. We're just maybe too shy to show our vulnerability or too scared, thinking that it's weakness. I think for a long time, it's been assumed that people who show emotions or who show or express fear are not strong.
Mm.
But I would say no.
We attract the right kind of people when we actually are being genuine and authentic in how we portray ourselves out there online as well, right? When you show your vulnerability at times, it attracts the right kind of crowd, not the ones who will just be there in your happy moments, but I think it will bring the right circle of support and people that you can rely on, because these people know the real you. I mean, the real raw side of you as well. I do feel that it works out to our benefit if we just keep things real.
Yes. And I think the more we just have conversations from our hearts, from our souls, the more I honestly think it helps.
Like the one we are having right now.
Yes, exactly. It literally yes. helps to make the world a better place for everybody. Because yes. it's no more this sanitized kind of version that we only see on social media. Like mm-hmm. everything's perfect.
Yeah, progress is more important than being perfect. That's what I remind myself all the time.
I don't think there is a status of perfect anywhere. Can't think of anything that's perfect at any.
Yes. Coming to my signature question of the show, I want to ask you, Caroline, what's your best tip for converting a passion into a professional success from a perspective of a coaching as well? What's your best tip?
Just literally go for it as soon as you can. Like, do not wait until you've done another certificate or another course. If you have the passion, start sharing it. Start even just by doing little videos on your social media. Start putting yourself out there. I did go and do a public speaking course, but that was simply because I still had that limiting belief in my mind. But I'm telling you from now, even if you just speak from your heart, from day one, you will be great, because people need to hear what you've got to share now, not when you've perfected it. Because once you've perfected it, think of all the people you could have helped and you didn't along the way.
This reminds me of Nike's slogan, just do it, right?
Absolutely.
There's not going to be like a perfect scenario where things are completely aligned in our favor. It never works that way, is what I felt. Sometimes you just need to jump in and experiment and do your stuff, make mistakes and learn along the way. But the sooner, the better.
Yes, because at any moment, you'll actually be inspiring anybody who is still about to walk on your path. So even if you're just one step ahead of them, that one step is going to help somebody. You don't need to be 100 steps or 1,000 steps ahead to inspire people and to help enhance their life in whatever area your passion might lie.
I recently shared on LinkedIn on how I overcame fear to do the things that I really wanted to do. It was a very simple post and really nothing extraordinary, like nothing like, wow, that's amazing, you know, nothing like that. It was just very simple steps. I really did not think too much of it when I wrote it, but I had this tremendous response where people were like, wow, you know, that this actually inspired me to do things. And this was eye-opening experience for me, because I never really thought that I had done anything that significant, which I've not done it yet. Still a long way to go. I feel I've just started to kind of share things, and it's really nothing to be super amazed at, is what I have always thought of myself. And the response that I got was something completely different. And people did express how they loved the article and how it inspired them. So I can see what you said completely resonates with what I recently went through.
Yep. So I must check out that article, because for whatever reason, it hasn't come up in my newsfeed on LinkedIn. But yeah, must go there and check it out.
Yes. As I said, it's nothing like, oh, wow, this is inspiring or amazing. I never felt it that way. It was just very simple experience of how I went through, how things changed for me when I came to US, and how I had to muster up courage to get adjusted to the new country, new culture.
Yes.
And it was just very simple experience. But yeah, I'll be happy to share.
But I think that's what we were both agreeing on, that what you think is simple is actually a really big thing for somebody else who's not done it yet.
Mm.
So you're already giving them a glimpse of what it could be like. You're saving them basically the time of having to research something. You've already done the research from them based on real experience. And I think that's what people really connect with, especially if they're already in your network on social media, that mm-hmm. they at least feel, hey, this is a person I know or who knows my colleague. It's just this feeling of proximity to the person sharing the information. It's not the same as just reading an article by a completely unknown person.
I guess I think that's a big part. Somebody that we know, and I think on social media, the network that we build, when somebody posts an article and we know that person, it kind of resonates a little bit more than reading a Forbes article or somewhere where we don't know who is the author, right?
It's the proximity. It makes them feel that, yeah, you're closer to them. You're one of them.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at the time and wow, Caroline, I did not even realize it's been over an hour. And I so thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I do feel that we could probably continue talking.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, the time has flown by. I still owe you an answer to the first question. What do people probably not know much about me? So I'll quickly tell you that I don't own a TV. I don't watch the news. So this is one of the great things to help with boosting happiness is don't watch the news.
Today's news is all more about glamorizing some of the negative stuff too. It's not just the positive stuff.
Yes, there is something called positive journalism, and this is a field that's still, you know, in its infancy, where you share the news, but in a way that is inspirational rather than, like you said, media these days is mostly focused on this is what's wrong in the world rather than, hey, this is what could be done to improve it.
This positive journalism actually just reminded me, I had a guest a few months ago, and this was about the Better India story. Do check it out. You know, I'll send you the link. This is all about the positive journalism, and they are the guys behind building Asia's largest positive content platform. They are showcasing some incredible stories. So I'll send you the link. Do check it out. It'll just pump up so much positive energy, enthusiasm, and will kind of push us to do things for others. At least I have experienced that. So I'll be sure to share that with you.
Wonderful. Yep.
So thank you so much, Caroline. It was wonderful catching up. And I'm just so glad that you took out the time to open up and share your story with my listeners.
Thank you so much, Ash. It's been my absolute pleasure. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be there to answer them on the posts whenever you post those.
Yes, I'll be sure to tag you on those. Thank you, Caroline.
Super. Thanks a lot, Ash.
So that was my good friend, Caroline Emily, who is not just a survivor, but a cancer thriver. And I hope her story of finding strength, facing adversity, and transforming that to her advantage has given you the inspiration as well to face any kind of hurdles that you're facing currently in your life. We cannot control everything that happens to us, but what we can control is how we respond to it. And this is why having the right mindset is so important. Now, this episode is part of the special edition series that I'm currently running on Passion to Profession podcast, where I'm showcasing women-centric stories all through March and April. So if you're enjoying the content, do drop me a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be super helpful for me to keep the show going. So that's it for now. And I will be back with another amazing guest for the next episode very soon. Until then, stay safe. Stay healthy, and as always, thank you so much for tuning in.